السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Okay, there's two things here, or there's multiple things here. One is when you're saying about this particular fatwa, I mean that is a fatwa that I would issue. Right, so now, and I have actually issued that before as well. The question is, when you ask for dala'il, there's two things here. One is me explaining certain things to you, like saying, look, this is built upon maslaha and this is a nazila. Okay, now, there's the level of making me make you understand. I can make you understand the words, like you will probably understand the words of what I'm saying. Will you understand the concepts and mechanisms behind it? I don't think you'll understand it in an as in to grasp it. I think you'll understand the words that I'm using, but you won't really relate to them because this whole concept will be new to you. So because you're not familiar with how maslaha has been used previously, because obviously I think me and Naif spoke previously about this, but I don't think that discussion was really fruitful. But if you see that maslaha is really only used by two madhabs, the Maliki madhab and the Hanbali madhab. The Hanafiya istihsan, it has a form of maslaha, but it's not maslaha in the sense that the Malikiya and the Hanabila use it. See, the Maliki and the Hanabila actually derogate from the Nas. So they actually do takhsisun Nas bil Maslaha. That's not the same as Istihsan, which is to do with Qiyas and stuff like this. So the thing now, okay, that's one thing. Then the problem is that people have always struggled historically to explain Maslahat al-Mursala. Because it was Maslahat al-Mursala, by the way, that the Malikiya also referred to as Istihsan. This is the discussion that Naif and I got into previously. He never understood me. That when the Malikiya have used the term Istihsan traditionally, they were not referring to what the Hanafiya were referring to when they used Istihsan. Hence, when Imam Malik said al-istihsan tis'atu ashar al-ilm, he meant knowing when to leave a nas based on maslaha. He wasn't talking about the qiyasi kind of understanding that the Hanafiya adopt. So, and hence, you know, Imam Shafi'i's qawl, man istihsan faqad sharra. He wasn't actually refuting the Hanafi istihsan. He was refuting the Maliki maslaha, because they absolutely derogate from the text. Now, they believe that that is permissible to do that based on maslaha, which is qat'i, and the nusus being dhanni. Now, you see, so there's, I can make you understand certain terms, but to make you understand the exact how the operation, as in to appreciate the operation, it's going to be difficult because you guys have to be familiar with this kind of usage. The fact that this is the first time you're coming across this, it's very unlikely for you to be able to grasp it like that, because it's obviously going to sound totally alien at this stage. So you'll have to start getting familiar. First of all, you'll have to start reading up on the Nawazil, where people have been giving these fatawa. You'll have to start looking up at what kind of weird, on what situations have they actually derogated. Don't look so much towards just a few usul al-fiqh books when they're defining it, because that is sometimes a, you see, usul al-fiqh sometimes is almost a political discourse. There's a lot of diplomacy deployed in usul al-fiqh sometimes, in trying to sound politically correct. So books like Muwafaqat of Shatibi would give you a much better understanding of this. A regular usul book will just say, oh, you can only do this based on these three rules and stuff. The reality is, if you read the books of Nawazil, there is no such thing like that. They exercise maslaha in all forms. So you will see all sorts. I mean, if I was to give you a very small example of, and I don't mean by this that they all agree upon it. So when I've given this fatwa, I don't mean every Maliki will agree with this. Just as if you did a qiyas, it doesn't mean everybody that accepts qiyas will accept that. although your qiyas may be still valid. So when the Hanafiya are doing qiyas or the Malikiya are doing qiyas and the other madhabs are refuting them, it doesn't mean that they deny the apparatus, but they'd rather deny the application. Okay, the tahqiq al-manat is what they're disagreeing with. But here we have a fundamental problem because the Hanafiya deny the actual apparatus as well of using maslaha like this. They don't believe that it is permissible to use maslaha like this aslan, that you can walk away from a text based on maslaha. Now, when you have that tool and apparatus, then you start seeing where this has actually been used. And there's so many, I mean, I'll give you a very basic example that is used in a lot of the books. They will say, let's say it's irrelevant, but I'm giving you an example. Let's say a woman has, they give the example of the bride all the time that she, you know, she's spent a lot of money doing her hair. For ghusl, she doesn't need to wash her hair at all. She doesn't need to wash her head. She can just leave it altogether. You know, they'll just do takhsis of the actual text. That's an actual very popular fatwa. Then there's very controversial ones which, you know, sometimes some Malikiya will accept, others won't accept. And there will be big people on all sides that, you know, and there's all sorts, and, you know, where people say you're allowed to do this or you're allowed to do that. And the books of Nawazil, I'll give you an example as well. The Nawazil al-Wazani, the Mi'yar is good of one Sharisi. And the Nawazil al-Wazani is very interesting, the Mi'yar al-Jadid. So if you start to go through that, you'll start to see this in operation. That will make you appreciate more how these things have been used historically. It's difficult. See, at this stage, you are going to... it's no point me trying to make you understand. I can only make you understand just wordings. I can't make you appreciate the practice because obviously it's very alien. The other thing is, this is a jadid mas'ala in the sense that you didn't have this kind of tahakkuk before about the kind of ahat that will afflict the unborn child. So to know that the child has Down syndrome or to know that the child has this or that was kind of impossible previously. Whereas now it's next to certain. I'm not saying it is certain, but it's definitely what they call, you know, it has ghalabat al-dhan, and it's close to yaqeen almost always accurate. And ma qaraba shay'u ata hukmuhu. The other thing is, life is a spectrum. Okay, what everybody agrees, the Sharia accepts that the unborn child doesn't have the rights of a regular human. So for example, his rights to inheritance, his rights to this, that haven't yet been established. Okay, they also accept if you harm it, the deer involved is not the same as a regular human deer. Okay, so it's important to understand that they all accept this, that it is still yet not a fully developed human, as in a fully developed human life. They also almost all, with the exception of a few, agree that you can abort the child. Everybody also accepts that. They then disagree, where does this aborting stop? Okay, so the thing is, some people have said, you know, more or less immediately after fertilization. Some people have said 40 hadith. Once again, ijtihadan. The Prophet ﷺ never said you can abort up to 40 days. They guessed that. Ijtihad from the text of the ruh. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, thumma arba'in, you know, then the 40, then the 40, then the 40. And some people, the Hanafi madhab, the Hanbali madhab, some other people from the other madhabs, took it to 4 months. This is not a qat'i dalil that abortion has to stop at 4 months. This is ijtihad. It is dhanni. The one thing they all do agree upon is that they do agree life is sacred, but they agree that this life doesn't equate the same as a regular human life. They also agree that abortion is permissible up to some extent. But they disagree at what point do you stop. All of their disagreements are based upon ijtihad. Now, when you have that ijtihad, which previously stopped at 4 months. Now, previously, for somebody to say something is wrong with the child, it was only mutawahim. It was متوهم الوجود. It wasn't متحقق الوجود. In this day and age, we have تحقق الوجود. And I know it may be wrong on some occasions, but it's very almost accurate. Therefore, in light of that maslaha and the suffering that that life will go through, should it become a life, an actual life, it will suffer immensely, as will the people around it. I'm not saying they have to abort it. I'm not saying they should abort it. I'm saying that I believe that the Sharia would give that rukhsa for somebody that will want to take it. That's all it is. It's a rukhsa for people who feel they are incapable of doing so. I believe that is their right in that sense. Once again, to really get a better grasp of this, you have to start going through. And you'll find all kinds of radical fatawa in maslaha, by the way. To the extent, you know, the famous one, which they kind of go wild about, which I don't believe in, by the way, but where you can chuck off one third of the ship, drown them to save the two thirds of the ship, which I do think is a bit crazy. But to that extent, the Malikiyah went sometimes in exercising maslaha. And so, you know, if they said if the ship was about to drown, you could chuck off one third. I mean, that the point being that obviously that fatwa, a lot of, you know, that isn't generally accepted, but that's to that extent. I'm trying to show that this was really operationalized, and you've got to get used to reading a lot of these nawazil to understand how they work. So it is a sina'a, it is a skill in itself. So okay, I hope that sheds some light and some clarity. Barakallahu feekum listima'ikum. Okay. All right, people, over and out.